special interview exclusively for Press TV with Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, and we are in Gaza. Prime Minister, thank you very much for giving Press TV this exclusive interview.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Can you tell me what it meant when those boats came sailing into Gaza?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في البداية يعني أنا أرحب بك هنا على غزة.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate and the merciful. Firstly, I would like to welcome you to Gaza, and I highly appreciate the steps that you've taken in breaking the siege with the Free Gaza movement. Your arrival to Gaza is considered a great victory against the Israeli imposed siege. Thanks to you, the Palestinian people do not feel that they are alone in the resistance against the Israeli siege. Our people are very happy and excited, in fact, in welcoming you to Gaza. This marks an important event in history for Palestinians in their fight against the Israeli siege. And we hope to see more steps taken in this regard in the future so we can continue this resistance. So, once again, we welcome you here.
Gaza has been described as the world's largest open-air prison. What is the reality of life, daily life in Gaza for your people?
There is no doubt that Gaza is overcrowded by 1.5 million Palestinians living in only 45 kilometers of land. As you know, Gaza has 5 crossings, which is in complete Israeli control. Since the siege was imposed on Gaza 2 years ago, Israel has maintained total control of Gaza and does not even allow regular everyday movements. The same applies to Gaza fishermen. They're not allowed to exceed specific borders. To be honest, the siege has had disastrous consequences in all aspects of life here in Gaza. In hospitals, patients are suffering on a daily basis. More than 232 patients have died so far because Israel doesn't allow them to travel outside Gaza for medication and treatment. More than 1,000 others are in the waiting list, waiting to be allowed to receive treatment outside Gaza. Regardless, they're still not allowed to leave. This basically means that Israel has decided to kill all of them. The continuation of the siege and the lack of accommodations has basically destroyed the medical sector, and the situation is getting worse day by day. More than 40 to 50,000 Palestinians have lost their jobs in Gaza due to the siege. That figure is in addition to the other 50,000 who lost their jobs because Israel didn't allow them to continue working across Palestinian lands. This itself has obviously caused a very high level of unemployment. Thousands of students haven't been able to leave Gaza to pursue education, and there are other thousands who cannot enter Gaza. So, as you can see, the situation is very dangerous. The humanitarian situation is deteriorating. Despite all of these difficulties, the Palestinian people are determined and their resistance, and they're strong.
How can you be an effective leader when you're at the mercy of Israel?
As you know, Gaza is one big prison, and no one can leave this prison. For instance, as we're conducting this interview right now, the Israeli side has closed down all the crossings and decided to ban everyone from entering Gaza. And 1.5 million Palestinian people are under the mercy of the Israeli side. Israel monitors the cash that is coming to Gaza and then decides to impose more restrictions. Moreover, the number of patients who must leave Gaza to receive treatment has decreased. With each passing day, we invent new ways to overcome the Israeli siege.
What about the international aid and the help that is coming? Because we know that millions of dollars is coming into Palestine.
The fund that is coming to the Palestinians is all dedicated to the West Bank, and nothing comes to Gaza. The Paris conference, for example, decided to send millions of dollars to the West Bank, but the Gaza Strip was simply excluded. And we haven't received anything from the Europeans, nor any other country for that matter. We sometimes wonder how the government in Ramallah behaves. The money coming from outside comes in the name of all the Palestinian people. But 1.5 million Palestinians are still suffering in Gaza. What comes to Gaza comes from humanitarian aid provided by some Arab and Muslim countries, and even that hardly satisfies the basic needs of the people of Gaza.
Are you saying, in effect, that Abu Mazen and the West Bank authorities are also sitting over watching the siege of Gaza and taking part in the siege of Gaza? When was the last time you spoke with Abu Mazen?
Before June 14, 2007, I tried to call him after he had his surgical operation, and there was no response. I started the initiative to talk to him, but he did not respond to me.
If he is watching this program today, is there any message that you would give to him now?
We believe that we're one nation and we have the same goals and aspirations, and our fate is also the same. We care about the unity of the Palestinian people, and we're serious about holding dialogues in order to reunite again. Our message to Mahmoud Abbas is that he should not be under the American oppression, because dialogue cannot resume if the decision is not purely Palestinian.
Do you feel that the people in Gaza are being collectively punished for supporting Hamas?
The people are being punished because of the victory in the election. This only proves that the American-style democracy is just a set of lies.
You mentioned the elections, but what about the events of last year, which many people regarded as a military coup where Hamas seized power in Gaza?
If there was a coup, that was against the result of the election and the attempt of the unity government that brought Hamas to power. We did not stage a coup against ourselves because we're legitimate. Therefore, we attempted to change things in a correct manner and give the Palestinian government the right and the legitimacy. What happened actually put an end to the internal confrontation that would have caused many things. And the U.S. administration funded millions of dollars in training and weaponry to stage this coup. The goal was to launch a military coup against the Palestinian government. What we did was a necessary move to make things right and support the results of the election.
Are you saying that America used political and military interference and turned Palestinians into collaborators to undermine the Hamas government in Gaza?
American interference to bring down this government was clear from day one. They did not want to recognize the legitimate results of the election, and therefore they did not recognize the legitimate government. They went about to form the US-Russia-UN-EU coalition. They went on to impose oppressive conditions for the Palestinian people. It was the Americans, with the help of the Israelis, that decided to impose the siege on the Palestinian people. They then started pressuring Arab governments to cut all their ties with the Palestinian government in Gaza and banned all the cash coming into Gaza and threatened anyone who wanted to financially help the Palestinian people. They encouraged anyone who wanted to stage a coup against the Palestinian government and provided cover, money, logistics, and support. All of this was exposed in a Vanity Fair magazine in the US.
Why would the greatest superpower in the world be afraid of Hamas?
Because the superpower is going against the will of people, and there's no balance in their perspective. They support the victimizers and forget about the victims. This is mainly due to the differences that exist in culture and understanding.
George W. Bush says that Hamas is a terrorist organization. Are you a terrorist leader?
The people who are defending their land and are fighting for the millions of fellow countrymen, are they the terrorists? Or are the occupiers who come from other countries to occupy Palestine the real terrorists? Since when are those who massacre innocent people with the help of US-made helicopters and built settlements and barriers aren't terrorists, and the victims who live in very poor conditions in Gaza are called the terrorists? Those who have imprisoned more than 11,000 Palestinians are not terrorists and were called terrorists? The US has killed millions of people in Iraq and Afghanistan and has bombed hospitals in Sudan and has supported internal conflicts in Lebanon and also the current siege here. But they're not called a terrorist government, and we are?
Can you tell me Hamas's position with Israel? Because we hear Israel will not talk to Hamas because Hamas wants to destroy Israel. And in Hamas' manifesto, the Israelis say that the destruction of Israel is embraced within that manifesto.
It's Israel who wants to destroy Palestinians and prevents the establishment of a Palestinian state. Can Hamas, with its very low capabilities, stand against a very well-equipped military power that is well-supported by other world powers, and then speak of the destruction of Israel? All we think about at this point is the necessity of ending the current Israeli siege. And we're not talking about elimination or destruction. We want freedom for our people. We want to live like other people in all around the world. We want a state. We want dignity. This is what we want. We're not talking about elimination.
If you had a message for Israel today, what would it be?
We believe that the occupation is illegal and the situation is deteriorating. We believe that everything that stems from the concept of occupation is doomed to failure, and the destruction of Palestinian nation is impossible. Force cannot be the rule of the game, and it cannot govern things.
Finally,
last question.
Yes, okay. You say that you would talk to Abu Mazen. You say that you've picked up the phone, but he hasn't responded. You say that you're willing to talk to Israel. Why does nobody want to talk to you?
We have contacts with Arab and Islamic countries, parties and organizations. We have relations with European countries and some of the recognized people in the international community, including Russia, for example. This itself shows that the Washington's boycott in trying to isolate Hamas has just failed.
Prime Minister, on behalf of Press TV, thank you very much for giving us your time today.
Thank you very much. In fact, I don't do interviews for a while now, but in a show of my appreciation to your initiative and your trip to Gaza and the two ships, it has been my pleasure to have conducted this interview.